On this historic occasion, we extend a warm welcome to all present members of this congregation, neighbouring congregations, and the denomination at large, ministers of our presbytery, others who have travelled from the mainland and from North America, family members and friends. The oversight of this congregation welcomes you and thanks you for joining with them on this very special night. There is, of course, a special welcome to the Reverend Ivan Foster, Mrs. Ann Foster. We welcome them very much this evening. Yesterday, I reminded myself of the definition of a farewell. The dictionary speaks of it as a formal occasion honouring a person about to retire. I don't know if it's right to describe this service as formal. I do know that we're here to pay tribute to the Reverend Ivan Foster and Mrs. Foster for 34 years of faithful witness in this place. And I also know that we're here to honour God, who brought his servants here and who used them to such effect. To this end, let us worship God in the singing of our opening praise tonight, the Psalm 124. Now Israel may say, and that truly, if that the Lord had not our cause maintained, if that the Lord had not our right sustained. The Psalm 124, we will stand to worship the Lord, and then at the close of the singing of this opening praise, the Reverend Brian McClung will lead us to the Lord in prayer.
Oh, Let's all unite together in prayer. Let's all seek the Lord, and we might know His presence tonight as we gather here. Our God and Father, we do bow before Thee this evening, in our Saviour's worthy and precious name. We thank Thee that we come in the name of the One who is the great King and sole Head of the Church. We rejoice that He loved the Church and gave Himself for it. And tonight, O God, we rejoice in a Saviour who was crucified, who gave His life as a ransom for the many. And as we gather in this place, as we bow even now before Thee, Lord, the gladness that is in our heart is because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen. We are what we are, O Lord, by Thy grace. And tonight as we gather here, we want to rejoice in the goodness of God, and in Thy grace and in Thy mercy. Lord, we thank Thee that we can gather tonight in the Saviour's name. And we pray that from the very outset we might know Thy presence amongst us. O God, Thou art Israel's God. And tonight we come to Thee, and we thank Thee that we are part of the Israel of God. And we have much to praise and to thank Thee for. And we do pray that Thou will bless this special meeting this night, even as we gather in this way to mark the end of the pastorate in this place. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy mercy towards Thy servant. We thank Thee for ever saving him and bringing him unto Thyself, for calling him into the ministry, for the years of service Thou hast given to him. Lord, we rejoice in all of these things. We thank Thee for the grace that Thou hast given to him to be faithful. And even as he comes to the end of his ministry, at least in this way, Lord, we thank Thee that we can give Thee thanks for Thy faithfulness and for help given. And, O Lord, we pray that Thou will bless him tonight. We pray that it might be that special meeting to him, that the Lord will bless him in his own soul and bless us all as well as we're gathered here. Remember all who take part, we pray. Lord, as has already been indicated at the very beginning, we want Thee to have the glory. We want our Saviour to be uplifted, for His name to be honoured in our midst tonight. And we pray that Thou will bless to that end and give help to each one, we pray. Remember particularly the one who will handle the Word of God. O Lord, we cry to Thee for special help to be given to Thy servant, that he might know the Lord blessing his own soul as he would bring the Word of God to us this night. So hear us, we pray, and answer prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If I can just take a moment when I am here on my feet, I just want to pass on some greetings, first of all, from our church in Newton Abbey. It was the forerunner of Newton Abbey, White Abbey, that was the Reverend Foster's first charge way back in 1965. Himself and the Reverend William Beatty were placed in White Abbey. I was just looking up the book tonight, and it said they got paid £2 each per week when they were placed in White Abbey in 1965. But we do want to pass on our greetings on behalf of the congregation there. And there are a number of them here tonight. We have brought down a bus, and there's some others who have come along as well. And we do want to pass on our sincere greetings to him. And also just on a personal level as well, to thank him. Well, thank him first of all for his preaching, because that's how I first came into contact with him. And then, more closer than that, coming to know the family and marrying into the family as well. So I want to pass on my own personal greetings to him. I thank him for his faithfulness, and I know I have benefited much down through the years, through his preaching, through his example, through his counsel. Times you turn to get advice and he's there, and you appreciate it very much indeed. And I just want to finish off with one little matter that means a considerable amount to me in this matter. And I just want to read one verse of scripture, because it was through this the Lord really exercised my heart about going to Newton Abbey and being the minister there. And the Lord blessed it to me before they ever called me in Newton Abbey. But it turned out then there was a special significance to this verse. It's Isaiah 58 and verse 12. It says, "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." And the Lord really worked in my heart through that verse and dealt with me about it for a period of time. And there was one time, it was during the summer, it was actually during the education seminar, and the Lois's mum and dad were up for tea one Thursday evening, I think it was, and there was a need in Newton Abbey School for teachers. That seemed to be a regular occurrence, but it was decided we would have a time of prayer, that the Lord would answer prayer and supply a teacher. And Lois's dad said, I want to read a verse, he said, I want to read a promise that the Lord gave me in my days in White Abbey. Now, I had never talked to him about this verse, and he opened up Isaiah 58 and he read verse 12. And I just remember thinking, could it really be the case that both of us, the Lord would deal with our hearts through that? I remember thinking about it, should I say to him? Because you think, well, maybe I should just keep it to myself. And I remember a little later reading in my own Bible reading was Exodus 8 and 18, where it says, Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done for him. And I thought, well, maybe I should take the advice of Moses. And I did talk to him, and it rejoiced his heart, and it rejoices my heart even to this very day. So we wish you well, and we rejoice in the Lord's goodness to you. Thank you.
As you will understand, there's quite a program to get through this evening, and so we're going to launch straight in. And the next item on the order of service is a series of greetings and tributes to the Reverend Foster from some of his ministerial colleagues. Some of these brethren have come from afar, and we're very glad to welcome along tonight the Reverend Stephen Hamilton, all the way from the Lehigh Valley Congregation, United States of America. And we're going to ask Mr. Hamilton to come now and speak at this time.
When I first heard that Mr. Foster was going to be having his retirement service, it was my intention to be here, and I'm very glad to be here tonight. But I was thinking of a story of a minister who was leaving his congregation, retiring, went to visit some of the people, and one particular old lady went to see, and she was very sad indeed that he was going to be leaving, or so she said. And the minister assured her that the Lord would raise up another man better than him, and that she would be all right, everything would be fine. Oh, she says, not at all. That's what the last boy said. We know Mr. Foster's a good man. And I just want to pay my own personal tribute to him. The Lord has greatly used our brother in many of our lives. I never told him something. He's not my father-in-law, but there's something I didn't tell him. And that is that before the Lord called me to the work in Scotland, he was actually doing a week of meetings in the John Knox Memorial Church. And on one of those evenings, the Lord directed him to a portion of scripture that had been used of the Lord in speaking to me about going to that work. And the Lord really confirmed to my heart that night in that service from Isaiah chapter 6 that that was the will of God for me. So the Lord has greatly used our brother. I was thinking about what I ought to say tonight, and there's so many things that you could say, and other brethren are going to speak. I don't want to use up all of their time. But I thought of these scriptures in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. They're words to a congregation, exhorting them concerning their attitude, their treatment of the Lord's servants. This is what it says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labour among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." We are to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. There will be others who will speak, I'm sure, of the work that our brother has done for the Lord during his ministry. And indeed Mrs. Foster as well, because behind every good man there's a good woman. And we salute her also tonight and her contribution to the Lord's work and to her husband's ministry. But I want to say just a few things. I would salute Mr. Foster as a man of great conviction. We all who know him know that he has very strong convictions and will often express them equally strongly, and that's a good thing, to be able to say what you mean what you say. And we salute him as a man of great conviction. His convictions are biblical, and that is most important. We also salute him as a man of great courage. I was just a little boy, of course, at the time of the controversy in 1966, but I remember marching with everybody else from the Ravenhill Church, from the wee church as we called it, down to the assembly with my own little placard. And of course Mr. Foster and the other two brethren were arrested and later went to jail. And we've always thought of those times and how that our brother was a man of great courage. He has manifested that courage many times since, of course. I think it's also true to say that we should salute him as a man of great consistency. It's always good to be able to say of someone at the end of their ministry that they believe and stand for the same things that they stood for when they started. And that's certainly true of our brother. And we salute that consistency, how the Lord has enabled him to remain faithful and remain strong. It's also true to say that he's a man of great contending. And again, the Lord has enabled him to do that, and we pay tribute to him and also to the Lord who has enabled him to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. I'm sure many have benefited from the Burning Bush paper that he edited for many years, benefited from his sermons, and his contending for the faith has been an inspiration to younger men, I think I can still say that, like myself. I think we should also salute him as one who has made a great contribution. He has been used in many different ways, especially in the starting of churches. Just offhand, from my own knowledge of things, I know that not only the work here in Kilskerry is largely the fruit of his labour, but the work over in Bethel, formerly in Lisbalaw, he had involvement in the work in Keshe, in Clocker Valley, and as has already been mentioned, in White Abbey, and now ministering in the United States. We are particularly happy to be able to say that through Mr. Foster's influence, through his ministry, the work in Pennsylvania was gotten off the ground. Because of his friendship with Mr. and Mrs. McNeil, the work in Newtown Square, later Malvern, got going. And our own work in Allentown would not therefore be in existence were it not for the ministry of the Reverend Ivan Foster. So we do salute him tonight. Personally, we wish him well. I give him greetings on behalf of my parents and my own family. Our girls and my wife, who are back in the States, wanted to be remembered to you. They certainly appreciate your friendship, your fellowship. You always know a lot about a man by how your children view him when he comes into your home. And I think that it's a testament to Mr. Foster that though he often comes across, I think it's not wrong to say, to some as being something of an ogre, perhaps, that's just how people are who don't know him. But I can tell you that he's far from that in our view, and our children love to have him in our home. And we certainly appreciate him and what he means to us, what he means to the denomination as a whole. And we do wish him the blessing of God in the days to come. Amen.
We're grateful to Mr. Hamilton for those words. And we're continuing on the other side of the Atlantic now. We're glad to have here tonight the Reverend Reggie Cranson, the minister of the Port Hope congregation in Ontario in Canada. I'm going to call on Mr. Cranson to come now and say a few words.
Well, it certainly is a privilege to be here this evening. Very thankful to the Lord and His providence that my wife and I have been able to be here tonight for this very historic occasion. And I bring greetings from my congregation in Port Hope, Ontario. I'm thankful for this opportunity to be able to say a word with regarding Reverend Foster. It's been made known that he's been 34 years here in Kilskerry. 34 years ago I came into the ministry. 34 years ago, I was placed as student minister in charge of the work in Oma. That's when I was introduced to Mr. Foster. And really, I suppose, in a way, he was introduced to me. Probably hadn't heard of me before that. But I have often wondered what I would say on an occasion like this. I often think about funeral services. You know how at a funeral service people get up and they'll say all kinds of nice things about the deceased. And I often think, did they say those things to them when they were alive? Well, I'm glad of this opportunity to say a few things to Mr. Foster when he's still alive. When I think of the Reverend Foster, I think first of all of his friendship. You know it's all preachers up here tonight because of all these points alliterated. But I think of his friendship from that time 34 years ago when I was introduced to him. And that reminds me of the words in 1 Samuel 18 verse 1, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. I must say that's how I love Mr. Foster. I was thinking of, as I came along the road there tonight, a road that I travelled many times from Oma to Kilskerry, I was thinking of our friendship. It really didn't get off to a very good start. I don't know if Mr. Foster remembers this or not, but I do. The first week of prayer that I was attending as a student minister, Mr. Foster said, could I travel with you? I said, certainly. So we travelled to Kilkeel, to the Royal Hilton there, the Seaview Guest House. And Mr. Foster was staying in the same room with Dr. Douglas. The greenhorn that I was, I thought, I'll stay with them too, students. So I bunked down that night, and I thought these mighty spiritual men will be up at all hours of the morning praying, so I better get up early too. So I got up and went over to the wash hand basin and was getting washed. from somewhere under the blankets in the direction where Mr. Foster was. He says, "There's Cranston. He's like a buffalo at the water hole." So that's how our friendship began. Not only have I enjoyed his friendship, I've enjoyed his fellowship. Reminds me of the words of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church at Philippi. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for your all making requests with joy and for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." And being the student minister in Oma, I always kept in close contact with Mr. Foster. Had to be a good student of the presbytery, make sure I kept in close contact with my senior minister. I often went with him in visitation. I learned how to conduct myself in visitation. I remember one particular time when we visited a certain family and they had a particular burden, and Mr. Foster ministered to them, read. And then he set his Bible to the side and got down on his knees in the home and prayed with the family. And I learned from him how to conduct myself in visitation. Enjoyed fellowship with him in visitation, in open airs. Came to Enniskillen and stood in the open air with our brother many times. Fellowship with him in the work of Christian education. I don't think there's a Christian school starts up without first contacting Mr. and Mrs. Foster. And that's what we did in Oma. Enjoyed fellowship with them, even in conducting funerals. And more recently in Port Hope, when we've had the Reverend Foster over two separate occasions for weeks of meetings. Stayed in our home. And I wept the day he left, because I enjoyed his fellowship so much. When I think of the Reverend Foster, I think of his faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2 says that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I'm sure every man who'll stand in this pulpit tonight will speak about Mr. Foster's faithfulness. And I don't think you can pay a greater compliment to a minister of the gospel and to say he's been faithful. And as ministers of the gospel, that's what we all labor for, and to be faithful, that at the great day when we stand before the Lord, it will be said of us, and certainly be said of our brother, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Mr. Foster had been faithful in his preaching. We all enjoy and thrill at the preaching of God's servant. In fact, when the Lord called me to Canada 17 years ago, it was through Mr. Foster's ministry that my wife got confirmation that she should go with me. I'm glad she did. Mr. Foster preached in that text, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And I'm glad my wife said, "Yes, I'll go." He has been faithful in his position. You know, a man has been faithful when he doesn't move from the position he took up 34 years ago. He's still in the same position, still holding the same ground. And we praise the Lord for that. He's faithful in his principles. They haven't changed either. In this changing world, so many Christians have allowed the world to creep into their lives. Nothing has changed with Mr. Foster. The standard is still the same. Praise the Lord. I think also of his fearlessness. Mr. Hamilton touched on that. When I think of Mr. Foster, I think of David facing Goliath, Elijah facing Ahab, and Paul facing Felix. And they all faced these men in the power of the Lord, as did Mr. Foster. In his preaching, in his protests, and even in his prison term as well, demonstrated tremendous fearlessness. He never courted the favour of man. Always sought to honour God. And I trust what time's left to me before I have one of these meetings, that the Lord will keep me as faithful as God's servant. On a lighter note, when I think of the Reverend Foster, I think of a man that you can have fun with. We all know him so well. We all enjoy his storytelling. One time he was over in Canada, in Toronto, in the Toronto church there, and my wife and I had him over at the manse afterwards. And dare I say, I asked Mr. Foster, tell us a few stories about the Third Force. Well, I was in stitches that night, almost rolling on the floor at the stories that he told. Whenever you get him to give his testimony, whatever you do, don't sit in the pulpit with him. I got him to give his testimony in the mission I had in Ballyclare Town Hall, and I wish I had sat down there, because I'm sure the people weren't so much listening to him as looking at me laughing at him and the stories and the incidents that he told in the course of his testimony. Something else that we all know about Mr. Foster, he's a fast driver. I know it for a fact. During my days in Noma, that our brother Mr. Jackie Neville always told Mr. Foster to carry a pint of oil in the glove box, because he put as much oil into the engine as petrol into the tank with his hard driving. And I know an American brother sampled that firsthand. When I was in the middle of my studies, it was the opening of the Balnahinch Church, and I couldn't go to the opening, I had to study. And this American guest, Pastor Phil Golden, was staying with us. Mr. Foster says, I'll pick him up and we'll go to Balnahinch. So he came, and off he went to Balnahinch for the opening of the church, and came back again. About 7 o'clock, Mr. Golden came in through the front door. He was rather pale. My wife thought he was taking the flu, so she made him a mixture, you know, to help clear the flu. So he went off to bed at 7 o'clock. The next morning he came down, and we said, well, brother, you feeling any way better? That man Foster's an awful driver. I think he thought he was going to get called home from Ulster. Finally, when I think of Mr. Foster, I think of how he's finishing. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, Paul said, I have fought a good fight, I finished the course, and I've kept the faith. Someone once said, it's not how a man begins that matters, it's how he finishes. And I'm counted a privilege to be associated with Mr. Foster. And we wish him well on behalf of my wife and family and congregation in Port Hope. And trust that our brother and his dear wife will enjoy a long and blessed retirement. May the Lord bless you both.
Grateful again to Mr. Cranston for being here tonight and for those words. Now we'll move a little closer to home, and we're going to ask our brother, the Reverend Wesley Irwin, minister of the congregation in Rutherglen, Glasgow, Scotland, to come now and say a few words.
Well, can I say that it is an honour for me to be here tonight, and a double honour to be able to contribute to tonight's gathering. Can I begin simply, first of all, by passing on the best wishes and prayers of Rutherglen Free Presbyterian Church to the Reverend Foster at this time. There are two men whose lives and ministries have had a significant impact on my own Christian life and experience. The one is Dr. John Douglas, and the other is the Reverend Ivan Foster, whose retirement we mark this evening. I thank God that in his divine providence he caused our paths to cross. I don't know if Mr. Foster remembers this, but it was he who interviewed me for membership, and it was he who gave to me the right hand of fellowship into the membership of Clocker Valley Free Presbyterian Church some 30 odd years ago, when he was minister, or rather interim moderator or minister in charge of that congregation. I could say much more on how I have spiritually profited from Mr. Foster's ministry down the years, but there is one aspect of his wider church ministry that I want to touch upon for a few moments this evening. Let me introduce my thoughts to you by asking you to turn in your Bible to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3. I was going to say to the timekeeper, there's time out here while the people find the place, but the other brethren have given me some liberty to take, I think, a minute or two. But Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17 reads as follows. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. This verse, for me, highlights one aspect of the Reverend Foster's ministry during the 30 years that I have known him, and I'm sure they apply to the years prior to that as well. He has been an Ezekiel, and by that I mean he has been a watchman in the free church, as we affectionately refer to our own denomination. What are the requisite qualities of a watchman? What qualities does God look for in his watchmen? Well, number one, a watchman needs to have good vision. A watchman, if he's going to do his job effectively, needs to have good eyesight. You see, there is no good placing a man in a tower or upon the city wall if he can't see well. The whole purpose of him being on that elevated position, in that elevated position, is that so he can see far. If he can't see to the bottom of the watchtower or the bottom of the wall, there's little point in being a watchman. An effective watchman is one who can see well into the distance so that he can see the enemy at the earliest possible opportunity. And Mr. Foster, down the years of his Christian ministry, has been far-sighted. I'm speaking spiritually, of course, in case his optician happens to be here this evening. But there have been occasions when he pointed out the enemy, he sounded an alarm, when others saw no danger. The second quality of an effective watchman is that he has good hearing. You see, there are times when a watchman can see nothing unusual, but he is alerted by what he hears. He hears a jingle, he hears chatter, and he sounds an alert because those noises betray an enemy. Let me add, a watchman also requires good hearing because he needs to hear the warnings that the other watchmen that are with them will get them. I want you to note that in Ezekiel there, the text we read, that the Lord said to the prophet, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. We must remember that the chief, or the one who is the chief watchman, is the Lord himself. I think we need this evening to remember that the Lord is watching over his church as a watchman. He sees, he knows, he is aware of all that is taking place. And so, because he sees better and hears better than any of the other watchmen, he tells them, and in turn they are to tell the people. What Mr. Foster was doing throughout his ministry was simply conveying God's warning. Third quality of an effective watchman is that he possesses good vocal apparatus. And what I mean by that is he's got good lungs and a good voice. You see, when a watchman in biblical times discerned danger, his job demanded that he sound an alarm by either blowing a trumpet or by shouting forth an alert. You see, a watchman, when he put that trumpet to his lips, it was no good that when he blew in that trumpet, all you heard was toot. No good. He needed to let the trumpet blast forth so that the people heard it and were alerted and were warned to the danger. Or he needed to take up his voice and he needed to shout, awaken, there's danger, the enemy are coming, I see them there. Now you and I know that throughout the course of his ministry, Mr. Foster has sounded and shouted forth warnings of danger. And you know, people were startled by that, by what he said. Some were uneasy by what he said. Some were awakened by what he said. But I want to tell you, that's exactly what he was hoping to achieve. Because simply that's the watchman's job. It's his job to alert. It's his job to warn. It's his job to cause people to be aware of possible danger. You see, a defective watchman says nothing. A defective watchman remains silent. That's what Isaiah tells us. Isaiah 56 in the verse 10, it says, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Now, all of us who know Mr. Foster, or acquainted with him anyway, knows he can bark. Maybe he could growl as well, but he could bark. And a watchman, you know, is like a guard dog, a good guard dog. When the guard dog senses a potential threat to its territory, what does it do? It barks. It sounds an alarm. You may say to the guard dog, shut up, lie down, go to sleep. But you know what the guard dog will do? It'll just carry on. Maybe quiet for a while, but it gets back to it and is barking. What's it doing? It's alerting its owner to a potential threat. And that's, well, I don't need to follow the analogy any further than that. Mr. Foster, tonight, we thank you for being a watchman. You have been an Ezekiel to the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. The name Ezekiel, by the way, means God strengthened. We thank God for the strength that he gave you throughout your many years of ministry to be a watchman to the cause of Jesus Christ. We thank God for your life and for your service in Christ's cause. Thank you.
Mr. Irwin, for those words. We're moving to the south a little now. Our brother, the Reverend Richard Monteith, is here as well tonight. We're going to ask our brother to come now and say a few words.
Well, it is a privilege to be here tonight at this meeting. On an occasion like this, I'm sure we all bring our own memories, our own thoughts, and we all have our own stories to tell. We look back tonight and we praise God and thank him for what he has done through our brother. There's just one verse of scripture our brother always said, that when you've something to say, it's always good to begin with the word of God. And if you remember nothing else tonight but what I say from the word of God, then I'm sure you will be blessed. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 1. At least one phrase in this verse has been upon my own heart, and I leave it with our brother this evening. For all this I considered in mine heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. Brother, tonight we say to you, it's good to know that in days of confusion, it's good to know that not just the righteous and the wise, but their works are in the hand of God. I want to this evening speak and give a word of thanks on the behalf of three groups. First of all, I want to speak for the little flock in Rodera. They want me tonight to pass on their regards to you, and they will be praying for you and your wife. We have enjoyed your support of us and the times that you've been over preaching for us. Men have been mentioning various stories, and I hadn't thought on this, but as they spoke tonight, it came to mind. One of the first weeks of meetings that our brother conducted for us in Roderan, the Wednesday night of the meeting, our brother was turning the congregation to the book of Ephesians. And he told the story of the little orange man that was sitting down at the back of the meeting and didn't right hear the preacher. He had been asleep, but suddenly he wakened up because he thought the preacher had said that he would take a pistol to the Fenians. Now in Wales you would think you'd get away with a statement like that. But that night there was a lady in who was originally from Southern Ireland. And to cut the whole story short, that lady is Mrs. Barbara Rudd, who is now a very strong supporter of us in Roderan. So she wasn't put off. But we thank our brother for the many times he has been with us, and we have most certainly profited in Roderan from his ministry. And we trust that you'll be back even in the future. Also tonight, And now I come a little bit closer to home. I want to speak as a husband and as a father. And I want to pass on to both our brother and to Mrs. Foster as well our thankfulness to you for all your spiritual help down through the years. We have a debt we can never repay to you for the influence that you've had upon our lives in spiritual matters. And I not only speak for myself, I most certainly speak for my wife as well. She would have wished to be here tonight and speak for herself, but she has sent me to deputise on her behalf. So please, we want to thank you in the Lord's name this evening, and also for my children, for they have been benefiting greatly as well, both your labours. Also, tonight I want to speak personally. I remember well the first time I remember hearing our brother minister God's word. I'm sure it's not the first meeting I ever was in that he preached in. I'm very sure of that. But it's the first meeting that I remember him preaching. He came down to speak. We're having anniversary meetings, I think, in Malvern. He came down to speak one Lord's Day morning. And he spoke on Gideon. And this was back in the 80s. I don't go as far back as some of these other men. They go way back into the real distance. I want to go back as far as the 80s. But I'm sure you already are aware of that. But I remember our brother speaking on Gideon and many of the things he had to say. And I never read that portion without many of the things he had to say coming to mind, especially when Gideon was being asked by God to choose the men were being singled out, and the comments her brother made upon those men, how applicable that message has proven to be. And other men have related to it tonight. It's one thing that stands out in our brother's ministry. The doctrines we heard our brother preach all of those years ago are the doctrines and the truths he's still preaching today. And that is a great blessing in times like these. These are times of change, times when men want to play around fast and loose with God's word. And our brother sets us an example. Example that I pray God we will follow and carry out by God's grace in our day and generation as well. I was thinking also as I look back how we would have benefited greatly from the internet back in the 80s when we first began to be acquainted with the ministry of our brother. He used to seek to get tapes of the Lord's Day evening meetings that were going on here. And there you'd be at work and lunchtime would come and you get to the car, you get the cassette into the car, and the sermon usually got to just a good point and suddenly it was all let up and you started pulling out miles of tape out and try to wind it up again. It never would work right. How wonderful it would have been to have the internet just at the click of a button. In a few minutes you have the whole sermon there. No interruptions for the vast majority of the times. But the technology might have changed. But we, as we have listened to our brother's sermons down over even the past years, the message hasn't changed. And we thank God for that, and we praise God for that this evening. But we thank the Lord as well this evening that this is not just a looking back. It's a looking back to what God has been doing for us, and that's a wonderful thing. But praise God this evening, we're looking forward as well. That verse that I read from Ecclesiastes mentions that our works for God are in God's hands. We wouldn't want them anywhere else. Men put their riches in banks and they thought that was a wonderful thing until recently they discovered maybe that's not such a good idea after all. But if our works are in God's hands, how blessed we are. And there's another verse in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 11. And let me just close with that, these words this evening. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, my servant cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Think of those words, his reward is with him. If our work is in God's hands, then there's a reward coming. And we praise the Lord for our brother and for Mrs. Foster as well, because she's always been there with our brother, supporting him. And we've often thought of her as our brother has come over to speak for us and to do meetings for us, always very willingly in Rhode Erin, that he's been leaving his wife behind. Some have told us that she'll probably be glad for the rest. Well, maybe there's something in that, but we know as well that she missed her husband, and we just commit you both to the Lord, and we'll be continuing to remember you in prayer in the days that are ahead, and remembering the congregation here as well, that the Lord will bless you all for Christ's sake. Amen. Thank you.
Moving now to the nation's capital, it's good to have the Reverend Gordon Ferguson here tonight. And I'm going to ask him to come down and say a few words.
Well, I'm very pleased to be here to offer my tribute to Mr. Foster and Mrs. Foster for the tremendous work that they have done. And I can speak personally, having sat under his ministry, and my wife having sat under his ministry and being saved through Mr. Foster's ministry, and also so many of my family richly blessed through the preaching of the Reverend Ivan Foster, and so many of them being saved through his ministry as well. And that is a tremendous tribute. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. And by that token, we can say that Mr. Foster is undoubtedly a very wise man, because he has led so many to Jesus Christ. First time I saw him was in 1966 at the Welcome Home Rally, when he and Dr. Paisley and the Reverend John Wiley were welcomed home at Dundonald. I'm sure Mr. Foster remembers the occasion. He wouldn't have remembered me, because he wouldn't have known who was in the crowd, and I was a very insignificant member of the crowd on that occasion. And he said, you're maybe wondering what a young man like me is doing with boys like these. he's probably wondering today what he was doing in the situation. But that was a great welcome home rally for him. I didn't see him again till, I think it was October or November 1969. He came to Springfield Orange Hall for a gospel mission. And I can say, I never heard preaching like it in my life. It was tremendous. In fact, it was so good that I discovered there was a church in Lisbelaw. Believe it or not, coming from Springfield, I suppose Lisbelaw is far away from Springfield, I didn't know there was a church in Lisbelaw, but I had friends, and we went along to Lisbelaw, and I couldn't get enough of that preaching. And eventually we got some others in the family. Brian came along with me, and in February 1970, Brian was saved under Mr. Foster's ministry. And then we got a little crowd. There were a number of people started to come from Springfield, Monet direction. There were others who came independently, but we got a minibus. Mr. Foster got a minibus for us. And I remember one night Brian was driving it. And Brian was only about 18 at the time. He wouldn't be allowed to do it today. But Brian was driving the minibus, and we were coming through Enniskillen, and he took a corner a bit too sharply. And Bob Gott spoke up, and Bob said, drive with a bit of manners, young Ferguson. But those were tremendous days. the summer of 1970 was a summer of tremendous blessing in Lisbalong. I remember Mr. Foster doing a series on the Book of Acts. I don't think he finished it, but he certainly started it, and my life was transformed by such tremendous preaching. It was outstanding. And you know, you were walking on air, going to the prayer meetings, feeling the presence and the power of God. And I remember some friends saying to me, it'll not always be like this. Sadly, it wasn't always. Not, I'm not saying that Mr. Foster's preaching wasn't always outstanding. I'm saying that my Christian experience didn't always stay up there in the clouds. Those were tremendous days, and it seemed nearly every Sunday night there was someone got saved. My youngest sister, Cynthia, she got saved one Sunday evening. I remember Edna Weir coming to the minibus, and she says, "Your sister has waited behind." I said, "Heather," because I knew Heather was interested. "No," she said, "Cynthia." So Cynthia got saved, and I spoke to Heather, and I said, "I thought that might have been you." Well, she said, "I was going to put my hand up, and I thought it would look foolish because Cynthia put her hand up." So I encouraged her. Next Sunday night, Heather got saved. Then we had others in the family who were saved. Diana got saved. Keith got saved, not when Mr. Foster was preaching, but one night that Dr. Bill Woods spoke in the church. Then I've got to say, my wife got saved under Mr. Foster's ministry in April. I can see it in her Bible. The 27th of April, 1969, my wife Anne was saved through Mr. Foster's ministry. That's where we met in Lisbalong. They called it Foster's Hen House, and that's where we got married. And I remember too, when we were arranging our wedding, Mr. and Mrs. Foster, their wedding anniversary is 2 days after ours, but they were married 3 years before us. So I think I'm right in saying your wedding anniversary is the 8th of March. They're nodding. Ms. Foster's nodding. And ours is the 6th of March. And I well remember Mr. Foster said, "That's around the time of our wedding anniversary. 3 years, it seems like 10. But Mrs. Foster said, "It seems like 30. So she had the last word. Do you know, Anne and I can't remember having a wedding rehearsal. But then we are getting older. We can't remember a wedding rehearsal. I may say also, Mr. Foster gave me my first opportunity to preach. And it wasn't intentional, because he was taking a gospel mission up in Londonderry, and it seemed that no one had been asked to speak at the prayer meetings. The men used to turn up and say, "You do it tonight, or you'll do it." And I was going to the church, and I thought, some night they're going to ask me. And I was working in the bank up in Houma, and I was planning my sermon, that when I got the opportunity, what I was going to preach on. Well, I froze. I got the opportunity, and I froze. And I spoke for a short time, and I felt humiliated. And I do remember Mrs. Miller saying to me at the end of the prayer meeting, "That was good." I can tell you it wasn't good. It was terrible. But you see, that's Springfield people. They always help you. No, those were tremendous days, really tremendous. And I've always appreciated Mr. Foster's ministry. And also, we've been blessed through the Christian school movement. We had a Christian school, there's still one in Kilkeel, but we were involved with the work there. And I know Mrs. Foster has been a tremendous support to her husband down through the years. And we do wish them God's richest blessing in their retirement. I bring greetings from Anne and from our family to you. And we're looking forward to Mr. Foster's retirement, because he's going to come over to Tavistock and he's going to preach for 10 Sundays. And that means 10 Sundays that I don't have to look for a preacher. And I know he'll do another 10 it'll ease my burden considerably. In fact, I think he's then going to Lewis after he's run 10. He's doing one Sunday in Lewis. So it's good to have retired men who are keen and eager to do the work of God. And we do wish Mr. and Mrs. Foster God's richest blessing and his presence with them in their retirement. I better stop because the meeting really should have started at 8 o'clock this morning, but I say no more.